by so many worries and cares and temptations. There are times when it is difficult to even get out of bed in the morning. We face life sometimes barely. Heavenly Father, at those times we realize that we are facing life, facing our worries, facing our cares on our own. Heavenly Father, drive us to our knees in repentance and help us to see that for us fights the valiant one, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has overcome sin, death, and the devil for us. Heavenly Father, help us to see that in Christ the victory ours remaineth. All these things, Lord, we pray. In the name of Jesus, our suffering servant, our resurrected King. Amen. Amen. 521.
Order of worship, divine service, setting number 1, page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God, our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in His mercy, has given His only Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Let's pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Through the wilderness and brought them to the promised land. Guide the people of your church that, following our Savior, we may walk through the wilderness of this world toward the glory of the world to come. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the first Sunday in Lent is from 1 Samuel chapter 17. Then David took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's pouch. His sling was in his hand and he approached the Philistine. And the Philistine moved forward and came near to David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. And I will give the dead bodies of the host of the Philistines this day to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand." When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone and slung it and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the ground. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him. There was no sword in the hand of David. Then David ran and stood over the Philistine, and took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. When the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak the gradual. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Working together with him, then, We appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We continue with the Lenten verse. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Hymn 656, please be seated. Remain standing if you wish.
Grace and peace, love and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the Old Testament reading we heard a moment ago from 1 Samuel 17. Like to remind you again of verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, was just over 10 years ago, Hollywood decided to do a remake of Homer's classic poem, The Iliad. The title of the movie, Troy. And you know the whole Trojan horse thing. Yes. The movie was bound to be a success because for about a third of the movie, Brad Pitt would run around without a shirt on. Guaranteed. Brad Pitt is the mighty warrior Achilles. And as the movie begins, there are two great armies ready to do battle. And as was the custom, oftentimes the greatest warrior on one side would fight the greatest warrior on the other side. Not the entire army, but one versus one, and to the victor would go the spoils. The Trojans were on one side, and on the other side, the army called on their greatest fighting man, a giant of a man, Boagrius, and he came forward with snot and slime coming out of his mouth and nose, and everybody shook. They called for Achilles. Achilles is asleep. They wake him up. He comes to the battle. Agamemnon, the king, is furious. "I should have you flogged for your insolence." Achilles, Brad Pitt, looked at him and said, "You fight him then." Finally, they appeased mighty Achilles. And he got ready to do battle. But before he goes out into battle, a battle where he wins with one swift thrust of the sword, Achilles looks at the king and he mutters to himself, "Imagine a king who fights his own battles. Now that would be a sight." Imagine a king who fights his own battles. Now that would be a sight. Our text for today from 1 Samuel 17 isn't a Hollywood epic movie or a classic Greek poem. It's true history. We have a battle ready to be fought. On one side, we have the children of Israel. On the other side, we have the Philistines. The Philistines have the greatest heavyweight champion of the world, Goliath. 9.5 feet tall. Never lost. Barely scarred. And every day he would come forward and send out your best fighting man. We'll handle it here, one on one. And the children of Israel shuddered in fear. Mighty King Saul shuddered in fear. Day after day after day, Goliath would come forward and mock the children of Israel. He would mock the God of the children of Israel. And one day, David, the armor bearer for the king, David, who has already been anointed king years before by Samuel. We heard that just recently, didn't we, here at God's house? David's the king, but he's still a shepherd boy. Mom and dad say, take some lunch to your brothers who are fighting and tell us how the battle is going. So David goes with his lunch and his fine cheeses, and he hears Goliath mock God. Why doesn't somebody do something about this? And they laugh at David. When David says to his brothers, why don't you go do something? Isn't there a man here who will stand up to this blasphemer? They take David and David's words as a sign of pride and arrogance and insolence. Who do you think you are, boy? Finally, David finds himself in the presence of King Saul. And King Saul says, you really think you can do this? With my slingshot, I have killed the bear and the wolf to protect the sheep. This blasphemer is just like a bear and a wolf, only worse. He is blaspheming God. Saul gives him his armor. His armor doesn't fit. David goes out with a stick, a javelin, a shepherd's staff, and five stones that he's picked up and put into his shepherd's pouch. Now, when I was in Sunday school, I imagined David as a little bitty boy and picking up little pebbles from the water and the brook. The shepherd's pouch that he had was big enough to hold a sheep. The stones that he picked up were about the size of a baseball. A baseball-sized stone flinging in his slingshot would be like a Nolan Ryan fastball, roughly 100 miles an hour. A small projectile like a missile. David comes forward. Goliath continues to laugh and mock. I'm going to feed your body to the birds. David says, no, it's the other way around. Not only that, I'm going to chop off your head. You don't even have a sword. How are you going to do that? David reaches into his pouch. He pulls out a stone. And now we have the situation where David can't miss. If he hits Goliath in the arm, if he hits him in the leg, if he hits him in the shoulder, if he hits him any place that does not immediately kill him, guess what? David is toast. David couldn't miss. And you know what? David didn't miss. David didn't miss because the Lord God of Israel guided his throw, guided that stone. It was the Lord God of Israel, not a shepherd boy. It was the Lord God of Israel who won the battle that day through David, through David's bold confession, through the slingshot stone that he fired. The word of God came true. David, without a sword, pulls the sword out of Goliath's sheath, chops off the giant's head, and parades it around in victory. What an amazing story. But unlike a Hollywood classic or a great poem from history, this is true. This is our history. Because we know that David is more than an action figure. David is a picture that typifies Jesus overcoming the Goliath called Satan in the wilderness. My friends, David overcame not because he was so smart and so sly and so cunning and because he had a great aim. No. He overcame because he claimed God's victory in Christ Jesus for himself. That's right. David, who lived more than 1,000 years before Jesus. David, look forward in faith. It is King David who writes, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." How can you hear and read those words on top of 1 Samuel 17 without thinking of the shepherd boy David doing battle with Goliath? It is the same King David who wrote one psalm earlier, Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me?" God never forsook David. He was speaking of Jesus. He was speaking of the Christ who was forsaken on our behalf so we would never be forsaken. Who was forsaken on David's behalf so that David would never be forsaken. He knew that as he clung to God and God's Word in faith, the victory would be his. Because the victory isn't ours. The victory belongs to God. My friends, what God's Word teaches us today is that a Christian who stands on God's Word cannot fall and cannot fail. Do you hear that? When you stand on God's Word, you cannot fall and you cannot fail. This is God's promise to you. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for I, the Lord your God, go with you wherever you go. But we don't always stand with Christ and on God's Word, do we? Too often we think we have better words than the Lord God. We tremble in fear like the army of the children of Israel and King Saul, who are more worried about what might happen, more worried about losing something that seems so precious, like our stuff. And we tremble in fear. And we look for something that's convenient and safe. We look around and we see that many people, even in the church, are all too willing to shape and twist and massage the Word of God so that it becomes something a little bit more palatable, a little bit easier to swallow, something that champions human reason, human thought, human ingenuity, scientific method, whatever, rather than clinging to the Word of God. My friends, what are we to do when we face battle? When we face battle with the devil and his minions? When we face battle with the world and all of its temptations, when we face battle with that old Adam, that old Eve that lives and thrives inside of each one of us. We stand with David. We stand with Christ. We claim no powers of our own. We claim no great wisdom or cleverness. We claim only the victory of Christ on our behalf. It is Christ who went up against the devil's temptations. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for the entire world. There is no temptation which you have faced, are currently facing, or will face in the future that Christ has not overcome. His righteousness, we call this His active righteousness, His righteousness is yours. It covers over you. It was placed on you in the waters of holy baptism, and it covers over you now. This is our coat of armor that we wear as we go into battle. His victory is your victory. In Him and through Him, we are ready to do battle. Real battle. And like David, we will not shirk from the battle that comes before us. Imagine. Imagine a king who fights his own battles. Well, David yet had been crowned king, but he fought his battle in the name of the King of Kings, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus, God in the flesh, comes and does battle for us. Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is the King who does battle on our behalf. His active righteousness, fulfilling the law and facing temptation on our behalf, and His passive righteousness, where our King allows Himself to be beaten and mocked and nailed to an old rugged cross, killed, dying the death we deserve. The King who does battle with sin, death, and the grave. And 3 days later, proves His victory. He who was dead is now alive, never to die again. My friends, today, we rejoice in a King who actually does do battle, not sending someone else for Him. Jesus, who is victorious on our behalf, that is a sight to behold. Everything that Jesus has done, His life, His death, His resurrection, is for you. And we claim it as we fight our battles each and every day. My friends, when God's Word is under attack as being anything less than the inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God for us, we are ready to do battle, and we are ready to go to war over the truthfulness of Scripture. We don't care what people say about us. We don't care how people mock us. We don't care how the blasphemers like Goliath tear us down and our God down. We are bold and confident when people want to claim that there are many, many ways to heaven apart from Jesus Christ. We are bold to stand on God's Word and the truth of His Scripture and say there is salvation in no one else other than Jesus Christ our Lord. He is the one and the only path to salvation. When people want to mock what God's Word says about human behavior, about lifestyle choices, or gender identification, we can stand on God's Word, and we can speak the truth of God's Word. Just like David, people may misread our faith in God and His Word as arrogance or pride or stupidity. But my friends, we stand with David. We stand with Christ. The battle may be ours, but the victory is and remains His alone. My friends, today, be reminded once again of those words that we just sang. Though devils all the world should fill, all eager to devour us, we tremble not, we fear no ill, they shall not overpower us. This world's prince may still scowl fierce as he will. He can harm us none. He's judged. The deed is done. One little word can fail him. That little word is yours. And it's Christ for you. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our lives, our battles in the victory of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. The people of God now stand and confess our faith. This morning we use the words of the Nicene Creed.
Believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten, not made, being of what substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory and judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism.
Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, who gives us the victory through your Son, Jesus Christ. We give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly and confidently to believe it. Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church from all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ. And help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Bestow your grace on all the nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority over us. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. We commend to you the care of our schools, that our children may grow in useful knowledge and Christian virtue, and thus bring forth wholesome fruits of life. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings, and let all useful arts flourish among us. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and the needy, the comforter of the distressed and all those in sorrow, especially those who have requested our prayers. Accept, we implore you, our bodies and souls, our hearts and minds, our talents and powers, together with the offerings that we bring before you as our humble service. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith and to their abundant blessing. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forevermore. Amen. You may be seated.
Victorious Savior and Lord Jesus, this time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship, pat at the end of each row. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or the internet. We pray that the good news of Christ's victory for you today and always would enlighten and enliven your life. This time also, we worship God with our gifts and offerings.
Found on page 160, we begin with the offertory, page 159. Please stand.
Oh,
lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to You, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave His life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we might be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal Feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify Your glorious name, evermore praising You and saying,
Blessed are You, Lord of heaven and earth, for You have had mercy on those whom You created, and sent Your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg You, O Lord, to forgive, renew and strengthen us with Your Word and Spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat His body and drink His blood as He bids us do in His own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in His kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To You alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in Your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is My body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of Me." In the same way also He took the cup after supper, and when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in My blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of Me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
are with peace and with great all joy, gladness, and rewards, and is the victory. Your sins are forgiven. Amen.
The body of Christ is free.
Thank you.
Now this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy, your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and we sing the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Hymn 422, you may be seated.
Again, welcome in the name of Jesus. Kids, you can go get some goodies. We'll be back in here in about, 5 minutes or so for Sunday school opening. Check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes for all the activities and events that are happening in the days and weeks ahead. We've got our big school auction gala coming up this Friday, so check that out, and lots of ways to support. And if you can attend, that would be a great way to help our school and our preschool. We are on our Lenten schedule now with regard to Wednesdays. So we have two services on Wednesdays, 12:15 and 6:30 p.m. Fellowship meal serving from 5 until 6:15. Confirmation at the regular time. And then afterwards, choir and Bible study. But that's the big thing. And then each one of our Wednesdays will have a special focus, and a group will be helping out. This week is the LWML ladies, and their focus not only for this Wednesday but for the entire Lent is the Allman family. We're going to have a special mission emphasis.